it's an honor tonight to introduce our preacher for the night. A few of you have got to hear him on CD. A few have heard him in person. Very few. All of my ancestors are mountain folk. If you listen to him talk, you'll think he's mountain folk. What I love about him is, like Brother Doyle, every meeting I've ever been in, he didn't worry about what else was going on. He begged God to give him what we needed. Amen. And he come up and he said, "Well, I don't know if this is going to all be good greasy chicken tonight." And I said, "It'll be all right, as long as it's what God wants." Amen. Can y'all help me make welcome Brother Craig?
Thank you, preacher. Love you, Alan. The book of the Revelation, chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Does that sound familiar, Brother Doyle? Let's cut them both on. Lord help. It says green. I would ask my baby what green means. She says, "Green means go, Daddy." Yes. Did you say wait? Go. Revelation chapter 20. A little nervous tonight. Never gotten used to this preaching deal. Never quite figured it out. Have you? It's interesting. If we want to be put in our place, God chose the foolishness of preaching. Not foolish preaching, but the foolishness of preaching. And appreciate the opportunity to be here. It's my first time here. Tried to get here last year with a group of preachers from Missouri, got snowed in. It wasn't too bad for us. It was just too bad for everybody else. And we started off the journey from Harrison. You're finding Revelation 20. I started off, met there at Oak Plain, loaded those fellas up. And boy, they were talking. Everything's going good, having Christian brotherly fellowship. And we hit the ice, and it was still. It was quiet. I turned around to one of those fellows who's a shouter. And I said, "What's wrong with you?" And he said, "I'm trying to get right with God." He said, "You're acting like there's nothing on the road." I said, "It's just a touch, a skiff." And he said, "It's slick. I want mama." And so we turned around and went home. I've laid on my belly. Nothing to brag on my flesh, because of me there dwelleth no good thing. But I ask God to give me the message that help us. I'm just a mouthpiece, and it's not about me. It's about Him. We talk a lot about that, but sometimes I fear that we don't do that. We try to make it about us. Brother Allen, you said take my liberty, so I believe I will. This is an old hill song, not much of a singer. We've heard good singing, but I think it'd help us to steel our nerves and set the tone for the message. Must I be to judgment brought and answer there on that day? For every vain and idle word and every thought that I say, we are passing away. We are passing away. We are passing away. Seen away to that great judgment day. In less than 100 years, every one of us will be in one of two places. We've sang about the glories of heaven. We've shouted. We've thought those goosebumps would surely rise until they would break on our necks and our back. But that's half the story. And the Holy Ghost has impeded my progress tonight to warn us about the other. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 10. Brother Dole, in ending the message this morning, stopped here. We'll pick up here. Brother Dole, where you left off. Revelation 20:10. The Bible says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Most people who are saved today are saved because they fear God. Because one time the Holy Ghost came by and prompted their heart to understand that they were mortal beings on the way to meet a holy God. And I'll tell you truthfully, I got saved because I did not want to go to hell. Because there was a remedy that was offered Randall James. And that man's name was Jesus, and he said I didn't have to go because of his blood. And I found myself as a 9-year-old boy weeping and crying in a place that I'll preach, Lord willing, and he gives me strength this coming Sunday, Waiting United Baptist. And there that night I wept my way through to salvation because I did not want to go to a devil's hell. We need to see ourselves tonight as sinners. And until we see ourselves as lost, we'll never be found. Sinners who are justly deserving God's wrath and the anger of God. This Bible teaches tonight about a living, moving, real hell. Some would say it's a figment of imagination. Some would say, "Preacher, we believe that when you die, we simply go to sleep." John chapter 5, verse 28 would negate the fact of soul sleep. When he said, "All that is in the ground, Brother Allen, shall hear his voice and shall come forth." Can I tell us again that there is a day that we're getting up? Those that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation, but they that have done right to the resurrection of eternal or life everlasting. The devil here in Revelation chapter 20, verse number 10, the devil that deceived them. Are you deceived tonight? Are you deceived tonight? Somebody said, "Preacher, we don't need preaching like that." Well, the Holy Ghost dealt with my heart and said we did. And I'm his mouthpiece and messenger, so we'll just take our liberty and preach what he sent us to preach. I want to title the message, "The Hell of Hells," tonight. I wish to take some time to set the stage and present to you what God's burdened my heart about hell. The devil that deceived them through the Word of God. In fact, Jesus himself, the great preacher, preached more on hell than any other preacher. In fact, of 1,870 verses, some 13% of those verses were on hell while he taught and while he preached. Matthew 25, he called hell everlasting punishment. In the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah chapter 5, he mentions the writer there in chapter 5, verse 14. He said that hell has enlarged her mouth. Isaiah 14, verse 9, he said that hell's moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Those Old Testament prophets were taking pen in hand, led of the Holy Ghost of God, and were writing to us to warn us of a place of unending, everlasting punishment. And I'm praying tonight that the Holy Ghost will hold us over this place and cause us to tremble there, because we are but a breath away from one of two places. From one of two places, we are but a breath away. It does not help that the New King James has deleted the word hell some 23 times. The NIV has replaced the word hell with the word grave. But just because the theologians changed their mind does not mean that God changed his mind. You say, "But preacher, how dare you stand as an ignorant hillbilly and try to persuade me?" It is my duty to be the mouthpiece and allow the Holy Ghost to persuade you. And if he can't, then you're paid for. And it's done. And it'll be done. the why in the hell or the how of hell. Let me try to prove to you that the eternity tonight of hell is worse than its creation. Matthew 25 that we were quoting from a few moments ago, verse 41. Jesus said that hell's prepared for the devil and his angels and the nations that forget God. Let me remind you of the danger in which we live. The world says nothing is wrong, and the church world has adopted the attitude of the world. Let me meddle there just for a moment. I say to us that it's not just enough, Bruce Culp, to be conservative, because conservatism is simply one step behind modernism. We are called to be biblical. We are called to be followers of Christ. You need to untie your horse from the Republican or Democrats or Independent and tie on to the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's not enough to be a conservative. You're going to have to get right with God. If we're not right with God, we're not right with anyone. He said that the devil, the hell was prepared for the devil and the angels and the nations that forget God. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 22, teaches us that hell was kindled in the wrath of God. In his anger, God made a place. In his anger, somebody said, Brother Craig, we're not appointed to wrath. That is true for the believer, but for the unbeliever, we'll deal with that from Revelation 21, the Lord helping in a few moments. Hell was kindled in the wrath of God. If the mercy of God and the love of God that spawned Calvary is a type and a figure of the amount and of love that God has, then Brother Steve Eldridge, I quake to think of how much the wrath of God has prepared for those that are unbelievers, those that have turned from the offer of salvation to die. He said that if we follow the devil your whole life, we're going to follow him to his eternal dwelling. Somebody said, how do you base that on? John chapter 8, verse 44. You're of your father, the devil. You're of your father, the devil. Now let's go a little deeper in this. I run some cattle up in the hills of Arkansas, Randall, and I noticed going to the sale barn where they have a sale, an open sale perhaps for cattle, for horses, for goats and sheep. I've sat there in line and I've watched those farmers that are bringing Brother Allen those goats to sell or those sheep. And most of the time those sheep or goats, Brother Dahl, will come running to the front of the trailer or that truck that's hauling them, and they don't want to get off because they can sense, they can smell what's going on. They seem to have an inbred understanding of what's going on, Brother Jerry. But all of a sudden, that fellow that owns that sale barn, he turns loose a goat. We call him the old Judas goat. That old Judas goat, he'll come down the alleyway of that sale barn and he'll bleat, and every one of those sheep or those goats will unload because they feel that there's safety, that fella, that goat standing in that alleyway, and they'll walk confidently off the stock trailer and walk to their death. Listen to me carefully tonight. The devil's not your friend. I said the devil's not your friend. He's a liar. His intent was to come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. We act like that he's a friend. He's not a friend. He's a Judas goat. One of these days he'll strip the mask off and laugh in your face because he's brought you to a place that was created for him. And those fallen, the angels that left their first estate and fell in disgrace. Oh, tonight may you understand that the eternity of hell is worse than its creation. The devil, he's an old Judas goat. There are several things, though, that are leading, that are teaching us in the world system that we're not going to face an eternity in hell. There is the education system. Not going to park here long. Somebody said, dear Lord, does he not know this is camp meeting? Well, hear me out, and we'll get it over with. Brother Dahl, they are trying to overwhelm our young people that were not made as a triune being. Can I teach us and preach to us from the Word of God that he
took, he spoke. Brother Allen Epinette, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he's having, Brother John, a conversation. And he said, I believe that there are three things that were found in the beginning. There's a triune Godhead in creation. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And when we get to the New Testament, St. John chapter number 1, you'll find that he begins this. He said, in the beginning. Boy, that's good right there. It's the same thing that was found in creation that's found in St. John chapter 1. There's God, there's his word, that's the Son, and there's the Spirit. Amen right there. We're created in the image of likeness of God. We are both body and soul and spirit. We are a triune being, and we are never cease to exist somewhere. When God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, we will never cease to exist, whether in heaven or in hell, but we're made in the image of God. We're not made from a monkey. I've had a few of my ancestors that hung by their neck, but none that hung from their tail. Amen. Still there. But God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Ezekiel chapter 33 verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. Not willing that any should perish. What did God do? The highest attribute of God is not his love, but it is his holiness. The holiness of God, Brother Noel Williamson, prompted the love of God to give a Savior. It is in the foreknowledge, the mind of God. In eternity past, when God looked down throughout the ages of time, he's having conversation with himself, and he decreed that he's going to give himself. If you're a Bible scholar, go to Genesis 22, and you'll find that Abram was able to bear that, and David himself is able to walk in the paths of Almighty God, to understand the forsaking of a son and a giving of a son. But aren't you glad that God did not quail or quench from that, but he gave himself? He's the only begotten son. That means he's the only one he's ever going to have, and he's dying. The yesterdays and the today and the tomorrow of the dough was dying on Calvary, because God was taking upon himself the sin of the world and my sin and your sin. But he did it because salvation had to be paid for, and it was paid for on Calvary. The love of God was perfected and personified in a Savior whose name was Jesus. His name, oh, I feel preaching in the house, amen. His name, he's going to save his brethren from their sin. But on God's side, he's the Son of God. Timeless in eternity and being. It shows us, the eternity of hell shows me at least, that is worse than his creation. It was created for the devil. It's created in the anger of God. It's not created for us, but we choose to go there. The eternity of hell is worse than its reality. Look in Revelation 21, verse number 8. I used to sing this as a song years ago. Let me back up on that. I don't know that I sung it. I tormented people with it. Revelation 21:8. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The eternity of hell is worse than its reality. Revelation 21:8 identifies a group of folks that are there, those that are unbelievers, the unbelievers. He says, the unbelievers, just because, listen to me carefully, just because you refuse to accept the fact of hell does not mean that it's not real. Just because you refuse to understand that the Bible is a true record, and that record is God, the Word is truth, and He is God's Son, you'll have to admit tonight, at least somewhere in eternity, that you heard a hillbilly preacher try to do his best to tell you that hell is a real place right now. Hell's a real place. Revelation 20, verse 14, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, into the lake of fire. Luke chapter 16, verse number 23, Jesus himself said, in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. Oh, somebody said, but Brother Craig, I'm of the persuasion that God does not send his children to hell. But listen to me tonight. Let me deal with that false heresy sweeping the doctrines of the world today. Let me say that until you accept God, you're not a son. Let me back up on that in case you missed it. Until you receive the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Are you hearing me tonight? I still believe that the Spirit of God, that grace precedes pardon, that the Holy Ghost is under an obligation to the Father, and he's faithful and just to fulfill the obligation to deal with men, women, boys, and girls. Brother Adol Williamson, when the Holy Ghost comes by and talks to us, he extends an invitation from the Father for us to become sons, to call him Father. But until we accept, until we say we're willing to be a son or to become a daughter, we're not sons or daughters. Therefore, the logic and argument of the world that God does not send his children to hell, we're not children till we're saved. It's worse than its reality. The eternity of hell is worse than its reality. But the eternity of hell is even worse than its location. Somebody said, preacher, what are you trying to say tonight? The eternity of hell is worse than its location. Isaiah chapter 14, verse number 9. Hell is beneath our feet. Hell's beneath our feet tonight. We're standing upon carpeted carpet tonight. I'm standing upon the hardwood of this stage, but somewhere beneath our feet tonight is hell. Somebody said, preacher, help me right there. It's a place where north, south, east, and west all meet together. I believe is the location of hell. The lost man, the lost woman, the lost boy and girl that has refused Christ, the body goes to the grave, but the soul and the spirit goes to hell. Oh, preacher, you've done went and waded off into something tonight. There is that. Let me give us an illustration and try to polish up for a feeble understanding. There is that of a county or a city jail that serves as a holding place. It is for those criminals that of which they receive their sentence. When they receive their sentence, Brother Allen, are then sent to what we call the federal or the state correctional facility. That city or county jail, while it's fearsome, it serves as a temporary place for the permanent fixation of where they're headed. That city and county jail, Brother Steve, you worked in jail ministry, is a mild place to the state and federal correctional facilities. Let me just go ahead and say this. In the duty of pastor, there's nothing that gives my liver a shiver like going to the jail. Hearing those doors shut behind me and to walk around through the evilness and the wickedness and the power of hell. And it reminds me of the finality when that door shuts behind me of what one day is going to take place. When the lost person hears the sentence, depart from me, ye that work iniquity unto everlasting punishment. It's a place, Bruce Culp, underneath our feet where north, south, east, and west all come together. Hell's a real place. It's a place of torments. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12. I can quote it, but in case I miss it, let me read it to you. We need a twofold entering into the Word of God, into our life. Matthew chapter number 12. Let's go there into verse number 39. Matthew 12, verse number 39, he's given the parable, given them that of the parable. Matthew 12, Verse 39, but he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall no sign be given to it but the sign of Jonas, prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days, 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days, 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Here's the Lord teaching his disciples something that we need to understand. He said he's going to be 3 days, 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Brother Dole, I've thought about this, searched the scriptures, trying to find what he's saying he's going to be there. On that day, that great notable day when Christ gave himself as the offering for sin, that final cry lifted that Brother Dole talked about from John 19, verse number 30, when he said, "It is finished." And he gave up the ghost. He bows his head and he gives up the ghost. Now some say, Brother Craig, what happened at that time? It's my understanding from the Word of God and the teaching of Scriptures that he went into the heart of the earth. Now somebody said, "Preacher, let's get that a little better." Ephesians chapter number 4. Brother Dahl, can you help me right there? Ephesians chapter 4. Let's read verse number 8, 9, and 10. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 8, 9, and 10. Here's what the Bible says. Hold that right there. Here it is. Paul writing about that that has taken place in the absence when Christ is laid. Somebody said, "But preacher, Joseph of Arimathea went and begged the body of Christ." That's true. But can I say that he's God? Oh, Brother Allen, he's God. There is that of the Spirit that returns back to God from which it came. And in the absence of his body, Brother Dole, I believe that he went into the heart of the earth. Now, what's he doing there, Brother Dole? I believe that he's preaching and he's teaching. There was a preacher of righteousness in the days of Noah. His name was Noah. But Noah was just one man. He couldn't talk and preach to everybody. And the Bible said that he went and preached in the lower part of the earth to the spirits of those that were one time disobedient. It's my understanding that there, he's teaching there in the book of Luke chapter 16. He's talking about the rich man in hell. And when that rich man lifts up his eyes, he looks across that great gulf that is fixed. And he looks into the bosom of Abraham, and he sees Abraham comforted. That is, that is preceding the resurrection of the Lord. That's preceding the ascension of Jesus Christ, Brother Steve. And he's teaching to us that paradise was once in the heart of the earth. But aren't you glad? Oh, aren't you glad, preachers and teachers and saints of God, that on the third and appointed day, that grave could not hold him? Somebody said, why? Because in the mind of God, there's something coming in. He's tried to teach his disciples, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it remaineth alone. But if it die, boy, there's something happened. I've been a-tearing the ground up, fixing to plant corn and taters. And when I plant corn, I'm expecting to get corn. When I plant taters, I'm expecting to get taters. And when he went into the ground and died, he didn't remain alone, but there's a harvest to coming up. And on the third and appointed day, he arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and the bodies of them that slept. Somebody said, you didn't believe in soul sleep. No, sir, no, ma'am. They responded to the quickening power of God. And Randall James, they answered the summons and accepted what he had just accomplished on the cross as their only hope. They're looking forward. We're looking back, but it's the same sacrifice. That is a pattern. The Old Testament's a pattern of that that is to be. If you want to study that out, study Israel in Egyptian bondage. I'll leave it at that. Invite me back and I'll preach that. If a man don't ask himself, he might not get back. But hold on. Something happened when he moved paradise on high and gave gifts unto men. The only thing that's left in the heart of the earth is hell. You'll know why he had to move it. Why he moved it. First of all, it's the will of God and the plan of God. But hell is enlarging herself. It's moving against the boundary of the fixed gulf. That the holies of holy, the true tabernacles in heaven, I believe that the blood had to be placed on the mercy seat. That's why he spoke to Mary when she came and said, "Touch me not, for I've not yet ascended." I ain't got all that figured out, but he's in transition. And he gave gifts unto men. I believe we need to believe the whole Bible. All that's left in the heart of the earth is hell. Let me get into something tonight. The earth's crust is 6 to 12 miles thick. Brother Kenny, you from a mining town or country there in Kentucky, Ohio, West Virginia. I've got a friend, Arnold, Brother Arnold, that's worked underground. In fact, I had meant to bring with me. He said the deepest he's ever been in the coal mine is 5 miles deep. And he brought me some coal. Listen to me. He brought me some coal 5 miles deep, Brendel, that has grass and leaves stamped on it. Hey, look up here. Let me help you. That's how coal happened. The flood. Somebody said, "I don't believe the flood." Well, I don't change the fact that it happened. 5 miles deep, those fossils of grass and leaves pressed into that coal. I said, "Good thing you didn't go any further. You was fixing to get in a warm spot." He said, "What you mean?" The earth's crust is 6 to 12 miles thick. The core of the earth is filled with molten lava. The best they can measure is from 9,000 Fahrenheit to 30,000 Fahrenheit. The earth itself, the planet that God made and hung it in space, upon the power of his word, is 25,000 miles in circumference. The best I can figure, and do some ciphering. Somebody asked me, "What was your favorite study in school?" I like running, wrestling, and recess. Mostly recess. Ain't real good on this right here. But the nearest I can figure, the diameter of the earth is 8,000 miles through. It's spinning on its axis. Now let's get that in our mind right here. The earth is spinning 25,000 miles around, but if we were to cut through it, it's 8,000 miles. Brother Steve, it's spinning on an axis. Huh? It's going, this is unfathomable to me. Smarter people than me figured it out. It's going 1,000 miles an hour on its axis. The average gravitational pull upon an adult is 165 miles per hour. Figured this up. In 12 hours' time, that person that's cast into hell would go 1,980 miles. That means in 24 hours, they go a touch less, a tad less than 4,000 miles, which is halfway through. Somebody said, "Preacher, it's an impossibility for there to be a bottomless pit." You listen to me tonight. 8,000 miles. It's spinning on its axis. in 24 hours on the, and gravity, by the way, goes to the center or to the heart of the earth. You would never come out. You would always feel as if you were falling. While you're falling, the earth is turning. And you never touch bottom. One of my most fearful things, walking around those bluffs, digging ginseng, coon hunting. Somebody said, what you do up there? Whatever it takes to get it. Somebody said, you a preacher? Yep. I'm also a farmer. And a cabinet maker, and a deer hunter, and a squirrel hunter, whatever's in season hunter. It's crow right now. One of my most fearful things is to fall off of a bluff. But get it in your heart. May the Holy Ghost impress upon ye that you'd forever feel like you've fallen and never reached bottom. The lake of fire is truly a bottomless pit. But right now, if we could be still enough and the Holy Ghost could uncover for a moment, right now, underneath my feet and yours, there's someone falling in eternity. Screaming and crying and pleading right now. Underneath my feet and yours. Aaron Valines worked for me on the farm. Distant kinfolk of mine. I hired him out of the state mental hospital. I'll give you a heads up, it's not a good place to hire farmhands. But I did. Brother Alan Aaron came one Saturday to rake hay for me. We was greasing the rake, and Steve, he said, I need to talk. And I said, let's grease the rake. We got hay to bale. He said, we greased a couple of those wheels, and then he said, I've got to talk, Craig. We sat there, and he began to talk, and I could tell Brother Dole that we was into something. For 4 hours in the hay field, we wallowed. And I seen that I needed more prayer power. Let me help some young preachers maybe here. If you ever run into the devil, you won't go looking for him the next time. All these that are calling out the devil, you better be careful of that. I called my mother and dad and said, you home? They said, yes. I said, don't go nowhere. I'm on the way. On the way down the winding stair, Mountain Highway 21, going into Boxley, Aaron got in the floorboard. And it's like the pure devil was riding in the truck that day, and he began to cry. He's begging God, and I'm praying, God, help him. Long story short, we prayed. Mother and dad, we prayed. My dad, when Aaron left, he said, I wish I had something more to give you. He said, I feel like that in Luke chapter 7, when the friend came, and he had nothing to give him. Next morning, I'm at the little church that I'm persecuting the saints at called Crossroads. 9:30, I pull up, Brother Allen. Lady runs out, the song leader, and says, we need help. Aaron's in the altar. I groaned in my spirit because 4 hours over yesterday, I've dealt with this. And I went in. He's like a wild man. He's wallowing, writhing there in the carpet. He leaves there, gets out in the gravel, crawls across that in that shirt. I can still see him now. We begged, pleaded the blood, did everything we knew how to do, Brother Steve. He came back on Sunday night and he said, I need to pray one more time. I'm already up preaching. He gets in the altar. We pray. I said, sit down, Aaron. I could sense that the devil was in him still. I said, sit down, Aaron. The Holy Ghost wants to talk to you. And Bruce, we began to preach. At the end of that, he stood up and said, I just want you to know I love everybody. I love the Lord and I love you, preacher. And he come up there and hugged me and walked out. October, he shows up at the house and he said, I want to cut some firewood for some money. I said, I've got a bunch of deer here. Don't be killing the deer. He's a blind. And November, his wife calls and says, last week of modern gun season, says, Aaron's gone. I said, where's he gone? She said, he's dead. Last thing he said to me, Dole, he said, I ain't scared of hell. I wish I was as spiritual as y'all think I is. Alan Epinette, I wish I was the preacher you thought you was booking. But I encountered something that week of my life that I couldn't pray out. Listen to me here carefully tonight. This kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. You listen to me carefully. Our duty, I'm scared to death that in the church age, we've got a church that's playing instead of praying. We got preachers that are straying because they ain't praying. And we running into trouble. While I'm preaching to you tonight, the Holy Ghost is talking on the inside. And I feel, and I felt like in my spirit, that there's an Aaron Valines. You don't have the name Aaron, perhaps, but you're here tonight, and you're deceived. And you think you can tough it out, or it's a place you'll go and simply burn up. But it's not that. It's not that. The eternity of hell's worse even than its condition. There's fire. There's torments. There's brimstone. There's weeping. There's wailing. And gnashing of teeth. If you were to walk out in Jerusalem toward the Mount of Olives, and you were to look toward the Valley of Gehenna, oh, the Bible, Brother Allen, has much to say about the Valley of Gehenna. You remember that there, in Jeremiah writing, he talks about that God that they built that was no God. It's barred from the land of the Moabites, it's Tall Molech. And how that they had fashioned that God there that had an open cavity as a stomach, and had its arms outstretched, and the nation of Israel was even bringing its babies, its children, and were offering them to Molech. Causing their children to pass through the fire. But to test Molech, to test how hot that he was, they would take dogs at random. They would throw them in the arms of Molech. Those dogs would begin to gnash and to break their teeth. Right now, while we smile and feel good upon our padded pews, our loved ones that died not knowing the Lord are underneath us right now, and their teeth are breaking off. Somebody said, I don't like to think about it. It's time that we faced it. It's time that we looked it square in the face and understood that there's two places to go. One's the glory of heaven and the beauty of endless ages by the river of life. But the other is an eternity in a place of torments. There's no refreshments. There is the stench of sulfur. It's a place of thirst. It smells there. Preachers, maybe some family members, you ever been called to the hospital where somebody's been burned? I can sit on a dead cow and eat a bologna sandwich. Don't bother me. But there is that that assails my nostrils, a burning flesh or burnt flesh that turns my stomach. It smells. Somebody said, but preacher, our body, our physical being is going to be in the grave, you said, but we're going to be given a new body that is suited for eternity. I believe the worst thing about hell, though, is our memory. Dear God. Aaron, I wish you was here. But you're not. So I'll preach to those on this side. Our memory. I believe Aaron remembers. Showing me he's 22 hornet. Slapping me on the shoulder and saying, I ain't scared of hell. Aaron remembers. The hottest spot in hell is going to be for those who have heard the good news from a far country. Amen. That there's hope and help in Christ. But you look resolutely at the Savior, the loving arms of one who died and surrendered upon the cross and gave his life's blood. And you walk on in your pride and arrogance and said no to an offering of a Savior. It's going to be hot in hell. Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 through 19 will reveal that there's beasts in hell. It's not just Hollywood. Matter of fact, I think the devil wants to brag about it. I think that he's put into the mind and into the hands of some of his imps here, and he's showing us things that'll be in hell. There's going to be dragons. There's going to be stinging insects. Brother Dole, there's going to be things that will bite us and sting us. Somebody said, you big enough to go bear hunting with a switch. Don't reckon I've had a hankering to. I'm scared of the dark. At least of the things in it. Mark chapter 9, verse 43. Let's read that. Chapter 9, verse 43 of the Gospel of Mark. Here's what he says. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. For it's better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. For the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. For it's better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. For the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It's better for thee to enter into the kingdom of heaven with one eye than having two eyes to behold or to be cast into hell fire. For the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Somebody said, Brother Craig, what's Jesus talking about? What's he warning us about? Brother Allen, let me give it to you as a hillbilly. I'm thinking that if your hand offend thee, the things that you like to do, the things that you like to do, listen to me tonight, it would be better to give up what you like to do than to go to hell. If what you're doing is against the Word of God, if what you're doing is against the Word of God, Steve Eldridge, get rid of it tonight. Let me give it a little plainer, Randall. Somebody said, preacher, how can you preach to us tonight? Brother Mike Hutzel, there was a day that I walked away from God and I said to him, I want a farm. I want a farm, God. God let me farm Allen Epinette, but it came between me and my relationship with God. And in recent days, Brother Randall James, the Holy Ghost just smote my heart. And I've said to him, God, I don't want a farm. I want to go to heaven more than I want a farm. If it's a farm, you need to give up a farm tonight. I think God's serious about this. If it's your foot, cut it off. Where you like to go. Huh? If where you like to go is against God, you need to get rid of it tonight. Somebody said he's dealing with the eye. If what you're looking at's not conducive to your relationship with Christ, pluck it out. That means get rid of it. Do we really believe what I'm trying to preach to us, Brother Newton Smith? If what you're looking at home, whether it's on the television or the computer or your iPhone or whatever you've got, if it's leading you to sin, you ought to break it tonight because it's not worth going to hell over. Great God in heaven. Pluck it out. Cut it off. It'd be better to go to heaven than having what you want. Eternity of hell's worse than its darkness. Mark chapter 8 and verse number 12, he says it's outer darkness. Isaiah chapter 66 reveals some about this. Let's look at Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, verse number 28. Luke 13, verse number 28. There shall be weeping, gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. Thrust out. When he moved paradise on high, led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Let's get it in our mind. We're going to be able, Brother Allen, to see what we are missing. It's somewhat like a building at night if those windows were not frosted. Those on the outside, while we can't see them, they could see us. Because we have light. Those on the outside see in, but those on the end can't see out. People in hell can see where they could have been. Have you ever thought about being in hell? I think the most fearful thing would be when the finality of hell hits you. When that hits or registers on your senses, you'll know torment. Here's the hell of hells. The hell of hells is this. There's no emergency exits. There's no water fountains. There's no suicide. There's no pills. There's no liquor. There is not even a friendly tone in a friendly voice. But instead, there's waves of liquid fire. There's beasts that sting. And then there's the denial you'll feel when Lucifer pulls the mask off and reveals himself to be a Judas goat. And he laughs in your face for bringing you to his dwelling. But Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave. Jesus, our Savior, hung suspended between heaven and earth. He bore hell upon himself and tasted of it so that we don't have to. He conquered it. And when he got up, the old black preacher said, he got up. I was riding along and I said, he got up. He got up. He arose for our justification. He offered his blood as an eternal offering upon the eternal altar. That tabernacle that was constructed in the wilderness is a figure and a pattern of that which is true in heaven. And I believe with one offering, he entered in with his own blood and put it on the mercy seat. And Brother Doley sat down because he is finished. There wasn't nothing left to do. Come ye weary, heavy laden, bruised and mangled by the fall. If you tarry till you're better, you will never come at all. But I will arise and come to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms, in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms. Somebody said, what you gonna do? I think I'd just get up and come to Jesus. Huh? I think I'd just get up and come to Jesus. Hell's a moving beneath us. Hell's are moving beneath us, but we don't have to go. We don't have to go. There's a road been made. Thomas said, Lord, how can we know the way? Jesus saith to him, I am the way, the truth and the life. Huh? I'm the way. You've been trying to do it your way. But your way is not God's way. Brother Dole's going to have to get in agreement with God. I'm a sinner. He's a Savior. And his offering has appeased the anger of his Father. And let's just step over on God's side today. Somebody said, but will it hurt me? The only thing that will suffer is your pride. The only thing that will suffer is your pride. We're going to have to admit, there's none righteous, no, not one. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. You see, I've been there. Huh? I admitted to you there's been days in my life that I've let things come between me and God. And I had to say to him, God, there ain't nothing. There ain't nothing worth losing out on heaven. The hell of hells. Hell's worse than his creation. The eternity. It's going to go on forever. Forever. I can't get my mind around that. But hell's going to go on forever. Huh? Forever. What one of you, if I had a cigarette lighter here with me tonight, would let me hold that lighter, turn it up, and hold it under your bare hand for 5 minutes for $1,000? 2 minutes? Then why do we play with our soul? Get up and come. Get up and come. Some are already on the altars. Hell's going on right now beneath us. Hell's moving. Getting bigger. Because people are walking over the blood of Jesus Christ, staying in their sins, defying the love of God. Oh, you'd be wicked tonight indeed to say that you have the right to live your life the way you want to and still go to heaven when God gave himself for our sins. Won't you come to a Savior? Sister Amber's going to help us. Going to sing. Will you come? Hell of hells. It's a real place. Real people go there. They get a new body. that's suited for an eternity. Just as saints get a new body, a glorified body, the sinner gets a new body. He's cast into hell. When I read Revelation chapter 20, even the devil himself cast into hell because he knows that the finality has come. Cast. Because he's holding on. Trying to keep from going there. But it's too late. Too late. The hell of hells. Good news about hell is you don't have to go there.